The NWSL, the National Women's Soccer League, wrapped up its season this past weekend.
Now counting down, and dare we say dynasty? North Carolina champions again!
The North Carolina Courage blew out the Chicago Red Stars 4-0 on Sunday in Cary, North Carolina. It was a wide-open game with some impressive goalkeeping and a wild crowd.
The league got a shot in the arm after this summer's World Cup, including a major sponsorship deal from Budweiser and a TV deal with ESPN. And all of this has some people believing that this league, unlike its predecessors, is here to stay.
So today, we're going to speak with The Athletic's Megan Linehan about the future of the NWSL, the team that's been pulling in 20,000 fans to home games, and what U.S. star Megan Rapinoe has been up to now that she's no longer in a Twitter war with President Trump.
I stand by the comments that I made about not wanting to go to the White House, with the exception of the expletive. My mom will be very upset about that.
From Wondery and The Athletic, I'm Anders Kelto.
And I'm Kavitha Davidson. It's Tuesday, October 29th, and this is The Lead.
It felt like something great was happening.
There was just something about the emotion and that moment.
The failures of the past don't matter because we've got this guy.
I have never seen anything like that.
That's not good news.
This isn't a story where you interview the athlete and go home. It stays with you.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to The Lead ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the app today.
If you travel, you know how to pull off a perfect getaway. You know after you enroll with your Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card, you get up to $10 back monthly on U.S. rideshare purchases with select providers, like a car to the airport. You know which remote retreats have the best herbal baths and where the Wi-Fi password is rarely used. Because you're the escape artist. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Purchases must be on card. Visit go.amex/you know.
So, Meg, what was it like at the stadium on Sunday?
The atmosphere was really great. Over 10,000 people in attendance. The Chicago fans traveled incredibly well and sang for 90 minutes straight. I mean, some people drove from Chicago, so they really went above and beyond. There was actually like a real fan zone outside. Budweiser, the league sponsor, was very, very present. And U.S. national team had sent along the World Cup trophies for fans to look at and take photos with. So there was a little bit of something for everyone.
And so what happened at the game?
A lot of us walking into that stadium kind of knew that North Carolina was probably going to do what North Carolina does, which is win games.
Her partner Jess McDonald on the other side will put it back for Dabinia. Gordon got there, but Dabinia scores!
One early goal from Dabinia, who eventually won the championship MVP award. Their midfield just completely dominated.
And they got three more goals from three U.S. national team players, Jess McDonald, Crystal Dunn, and Sam Mewis.
Yes.
Dahlkemper right in the middle! North Carolina scored again! Sam Mewis joins the party!
So, you know, backing up just a second, Meg, just tell us a little bit about the NWSL. It's a league that's been around a lot longer than many people even realize.
Yes, definitely. This is the first time we've actually had a women's professional soccer league that has lasted longer than 3 years. There were two that existed previously, but NWSL was formed in 2013. Back then it had 8 teams. Now we're up to 9. So it's got every single player from the U.S. national team in it, plus international players like Sam Kerr, who plays for the Chicago Red Stars, Marta of Orlando Pride, Christine Sinclair in Portland with the Thorns. So it's really just kind of still, as of right now, in theory, the best women's professional league in the world.
You know, one interesting case study with the league is the Portland Thorns. They didn't make the final. They got knocked out in the semis. But they've actually averaged over 20,000 people at home games this year.
You know, I've stood in front of their supporters group, like actually on the field for games, and it's just a wall of sound. and they have Smoke and they have Chance. They are cursing and they are screaming at the referee and they are cheering on their players. Like, it is just, like, it's the best place, I think, to watch an NWSL game.
A record crowd on hand here in Providence Park today for this one. Over 25,000 strong. Keep them coming. And why not if you're getting action like this? We'll be back to wrap things up.
How is it that the Portland Thorns have built such a large fan base and become so successful?
I think the successful thing about Portland and the way that they draw in fans is every single element to this team, whether it's players, front office, supporters, casual people in town, they have media support. Everybody's kind of pulling in the same direction.
And is their success something that can be replicated? Because at least right now, there really aren't any other teams in the NWSL with those kind of attendance figures.
I think it is very encouraging to see the full potential of an NWSL team, and Portland has gotten there much faster than the rest of the league. But I think that ultimately, as special as Portland is, that there are things that can be copied from that market to help improve the rest and also potential future cities for NWSL.
Got it. So the big event this summer, of course, was the World Cup. A lot of people watched the U.S. team win their fourth championship. And it seems like that translated into some momentum for the NWSL.
I think that one of the biggest things that happened is, one, they got a short-term television deal for the back half of the season on ESPN. That was a huge move that the league needed. And then they also got a new sponsor in Budweiser. They did like a full-page ad in the New York Times right after the final. And it was basically this empty stadium, essentially, for a Reign FC game, Megan Rapinoe kind of front and center and saying, like, you know, you say that you're a fan of women's soccer, you're watching the World Cup, you can watch these players at home.
If we really are supporters, if we really care as much as we say we do, are as inspired as we claim to be, then today is not the end. Today is a new beginning. Because this time, we won't stop watching.
And we know for a fact that you're not, because look at this photo and look at the attendance numbers compared to a World Cup, which is in France, and the way that you travel to France or the way that you tune into TV to watch the U.S. national team. You can do that with the league. They actually just launched a second half of this campaign that challenges other brands to sponsor the league.
Yeah, these fans drink beer, but they also use their phones for texting and headphones for music. They eat snacks. And their pets do, too. The more support the league gets, the more the world will watch. The more the world watches, the closer we get to an equal playing field. And that's something we can all cheers to.
They're actually saying, go tweet at other brands to sponsor this league, because that's how much we believe in it.
And is this campaign working?
I've actually talked with the Budweiser people, and they said that they've been really blown away by the amount of engagement, the sales numbers. They've been working with supporters groups, with the teams directly. It really does seem like they are not necessarily surprised, but I think that it kind of exceeded even their expectations.
And you mentioned a minute ago this new contract with ESPN. Do we know how ratings have been on those broadcasts?
It is an absolute pleasure to be back with you where this league belongs, on national television. This is the first game of 14 on ESPN's family of networks. We start today. We'll take you all the way through the championship.
Yeah, they've definitely been strong. I think part of what helps with the ESPN deal is that it's actually in front of a sports audience. So, I mean, two of the most recent numbers that we have now are for last week's NWSL semifinals. The North Carolina versus Reign FC game got 103,000 viewers. Chicago versus Portland, the game right after, ended up with 155,000 viewers. So it's actually, they're looking pretty good. I mean, the MLS game that was on that same weekend on ESPN News only brought in 80,000. And granted, it's on ESPN News as opposed to a more widely distributed network. But it's definitely stronger than what we've seen in the past. I mean, I was looking up some old numbers, and back in 2015, there was one game that only got 28,000, and that was kind of the bigger playoff game of that year. So we have seen some real progress on that front.
You know, whenever we talk about women's professional sports leagues in the U.S., it seems like the conversation always turns to, like, questions about you know, how it's doing financially and is it going to survive in the long run and how much interest is there really. But I think a lot of people don't realize that even on the men's side, how long it takes a league to become financially sustainable. I mean, Major League Soccer, for instance, which was launched in 1996, is still not profitable. And yet you have owners on the men's side who are willing to kind of invest in the league in the long term and take those losses for the sake of a long-term vision. But for whatever reason, it seems like you don't see that on the women's side.
100%. I mean, one of my favorite jokes is just, you know, yelling blindly onto the internet, but the revenue, right? I think that there is this expectation, fair or not, with women's sports, that we expect them to be financially viable from day one, which is just not how these things have historically worked by any stretch of the imagination. And at the end of the day, I think everyone involved in this is kind of saying, but what if the fundamental question at the heart of it is actually about respect and about giving it the chance to grow? So I think that a lot of the owners within that NWSL world have that sort of long-term view. The question is, who's going to still be around in another 5 or 10 years when they still might not be making money, but they might be making money in 20 years?
And there's also this sort of chicken and egg debate around media coverage. Like, some media outlets don't cover women's sports because they say there's not enough interest. But at the same time, we know that covering a sport generates interest.
I mean, when you look at the breakdown of media coverage, I mean, the fact that I'm working at The Athletic, I'm really the only full-time reporter on women's soccer in the country for a mainstream outlet, period. I'm like a very huge rarity in this field. You know, before I even got this job and moved to a full-time position in sports a few years ago, I paid out of pocket to cover women's soccer. I paid for all of my own travel, all of my own equipment, you name it. Like, I don't know how many thousands of dollars I lost. So to say that women's soccer doesn't have interest, well, of course, because you're not actually like hitting the marketplace in any sort of meaningful fashion when women's sports gets, I mean, it's definitely single digits. It depends on what study you look at, but it's, you know, 4 or 5% of all overall media coverage. So how are you supposed to say women's sports, there's no interest there when there's no coverage of it?
Cafe Altura's COO Dylan Miskowitz needed to hire a director of coffee for his organic coffee company, but he was having trouble finding qualified applicants. So he turned to our sponsor, ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. Its technology identifies people with the right experience so you get qualified candidates fast. Dylan also used ZipRecruiter's candidate rating feature to filter his applicants so he could focus on the most relevant ones. And that's how he found his new director of coffee in just a few days. With results like that, it's no wonder 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. See why ZipRecruiter is effective for businesses of all sizes. Try ZipRecruiter for free at our web address, ziprecruiter.com/lead. It's also a great way to support our show. That's ziprecruiter.com/LEAD. ZipRecruiter.com/lead. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
If you travel, you know when it comes to love.
See you soon.
Can't wait.
The sky is no limit. You know with your Delta Amex card, being oceans apart means meeting in Aruba. And booking a war travel with your card means saving 15% on Delta flights. You know kissing under the bridge of sighs guarantees eternal love. Because you're the long-distance lovebirds. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Takeoff 15 discount not applicable to partner-operated flights or taxes and fees. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you know.
And so Megan Rapinoe really became a household name this summer during the World Cup. And in many ways, she has become the face of the NWSL.
So I think Megan Rapinoe probably had the craziest summer out of any player on the national team. And a lot of that stemmed from the fact that she is, you know, somewhat outspoken politically. She is willing to share her opinions. And she had filmed this old video back in, I think it was January, for a photo shoot where she said,
I'm not going to the White House. No, I'm not going to the White House. That's, we're not going to be invited.
And that blew up.
That did not sit well with U.S. President Donald Trump, who took to Twitter to respond to Rapinoe, saying, "I am a big fan of the American team and women's soccer, but Megan should win first before she talks. Finish the job."
Then I think the rest of that World Cup just turned into a really interesting time of her having to navigate political stuff and, you know, getting those questions at the podium of World Cup press conferences.
I stand by the comments that I made about not wanting to go to the White House, with the exception of the expletive. My mom will be very upset about that. But I think obviously entering...
And then her girlfriend, who plays in the WNBA for Seattle Storm, Sue Bird, you know, writes this article on Players Tribune that's like, "So the president hates my girlfriend." As she's having this, you know, golden ball winning performance for the World Cup.
Heath in the box, two runners across. It goes free. Rapinoe shot. Go! 2-0 U.S.
She ends up winning the FIFA Best Player of the Year. Plus, you add in the equal pay fight. She's one of the players who is most willing to go on the record on that front. So you just get this perfect storm.
One goal off the left foot from Rapinoe on a set piece. One goal off the right foot there. Guess who might win the Golden Boot race?
You know, Megan, you know Megan Rapinoe quite well. You've interviewed her many times over the years. How would you describe her? How is the person that you know different or similar to her sort of public persona coming out of this summer?
I think actually the joy of Megan Rapinoe is that she kind of is what she is. So actually when I went out to speak with her for a story for The Athletic earlier this year, you know, she basically told me, like, I got famous for all the things that I already was.
It's not like I said something crazy or, I do say, but it's not more than normal. You know, I've been saying all these things for all this time. elevated level.
And, yeah.
You know, actually for me, I feel like it's great because more people are listening to the things that I'm saying or things that the team is saying.
So I think that she is definitely off the cuff in terms of what she will say, but it's not anything that she doesn't believe. She's always going to tell you what she's thinking.
How, if at all, has she been using her new celebrity, if you want to call it that, or her new platform since the World Cup?
Every kind of major speech that she's had since the World Cup, whether it was at City Hall in New York City as part of the celebrations, or you know when she won the Best Women's Player of the Year via FIFA, she's always also kind of issued this challenge at the same time.
Trying to use those things for good and trying to challenge people and constantly bring the conversation and make people think and, you know, constantly reevaluate where we are in the world. Are we doing enough? Are we good enough? Can we be better? And I think the answer to those questions is always yes. So I feel like for me, I feel a responsibility to do this.
And so now that she's returned from the World Cup, you know, this gigantic stage for soccer, how is Megan Rapinoe feeling about the NWSL?
I think that she was a little frustrated just in terms of not seeing the leap for NWSL when it comes to audience or eyeballs or, you know, attendance.
I just don't understand, like, the quality of the league is really good and all players that play in it, and we would attract all the best players in the world because everyone pretty much wants to come to America and play.
Yeah.
So I think all of us are like, yeah, it's here, hello, like, this is what we do all the time. We're here 7 months a year.
You know, she thinks that the games are good and she thinks more people should be watching.
So, Meg, you've been covering women's soccer for quite a while now. How do you feel things are going overall?
I think that the actual state of women's soccer in America is intriguing in a way that I've never really seen it before. This is going to be a real test of the league to say, okay, we're setting aside maybe some of U.S. soccer's support to actually get a real feel for what the demand is. We're waiting to see what 2020 is going to look like. But from everyone that I've talked to within the league, whether it's a player, an owner, you know, front office kind of person, people are excited for what comes next. And I think that that's a really positive sign for a league that's about to hit its eighth season and is looking to make it 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. And so I think that there's an understanding that this is still very much a work in progress and a lot of work still needs to be done. But I think that we're going to see a lot of that growth happen very quickly over the next year or two.
Well, Meg, thanks so much for joining us today.
All right. Thank you so much.
Here's some other stories we're following at The Lead. Just last week, the Washington Nationals looked like a team of destiny, and now they're one loss away from World Series elimination. The Astros hold a 3-2 series lead going into tonight's Game 6 in Houston, and will try to clinch the title with Justin Verlander taking the hill. Steven Strasburg will lead the Nats, who need a win to force a winner-take-all Game 7 on Wednesday.
LeBron James says he had to evacuate his family early Monday morning because of a large wildfire that broke out near his Los Angeles home. James, who called the fire, quote, no joke, tweeted the news as he and his family were driving around at 4 a.m. looking for a place to sleep. He also offered words of support to everyone affected by the fire and gave his thanks to first responders.
The New York Jets traded Leonard Williams to the New York Giants for a pair of draft picks. Williams was the sixth pick in the 2015 draft, and he's only 25, but The Athletic's Connor Hughes says that the Jets decided to stockpile draft picks as they rebuild and that the team's fire sale is likely just beginning. The NFL trade deadline is 4 p.m. Eastern today. And Anders, did you know that this is the very first time the Jets and the Giants have ever traded players?
Wait, seriously?
Very seriously. They share a building, now they share a player.
If you like our show, please give us a 5-star rating and tell your friends to subscribe. We're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and every major listening app, as well as Wondery.com. From Wondery and The Athletic, I'm Anders Kelto.
And I'm Kavitha Davidson. See you tomorrow.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
The drama.
They're having to be separated. They've both been shown the red card.
The entertainment.
And he scores!
The superstars.
Foden! Oh, yes!
What a goal.
Welcome to the Planet Premier League podcast. I'm Mark Chapman, and every week, Cesc Fabregas, Nader Manua, and myself talk all things Premier League.
They have this dynamism and this quality that they can play anywhere. They need to prove themselves in scoring more and more and more goals.
I think if they don't win the title this year, the season is a failure in the league.
Planet Premier League. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.